It's time for the Compos Outdoor Show on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Also streaming live at KFARradio.com. Sponsored by Compos, your home for fun in the great outdoors. And now your host, Craig Compo.
Hey, Fairbanks, welcome to the Compo Outdoor Show, another Saturday in Fairbanks. It is the tailing end of the hunting season. I'm done hunting for the year. We got a moose. Wasn't the best hunt we've ever had. It was fun. Had some great people with us. Talked a little bit about my hunt during this program and some really unique stuff that we experienced other than hunting that was kind of bizarre. Well, wildlife related and so forth. But yeah, it was a fun hunt. We hunt the Good Pasture River, the upper reaches of the Good Pasture. Got a hunting camp way up there, and probably saw fewer moose this year than I think I've ever seen, which surprised me a little bit. I mean, I know that the wolves have decimated that area over the last couple of years, especially since the rain in the middle of winter a couple of years ago. It just, that gives them basically a basketball court to run on when the moose are cut up legs up to their bellies in snow, and just really hard for them to eat and get away and defend themselves. So it's been a massacre up there. There is a trapper or two up there that did, put a dent in the wolf population, but a very small dent apparently, even though there was a lot of effort there. I've never seen more wolf tracks in my life. A lot of bear tracks, a lot of wolf tracks, a lot of kill sites. Just not a lot of moose. I was up there, in May and saw a lot of cows and calves and some twins and thought, well, this is encouraging. It's going to be coming back. But, it was really grim. Now, with that being said, I'm sure the numbers were down for that area. Like I've kind of heard on the showroom, the numbers, a lot of people didn't get moose this year, but it's the old right time, right place thing. We did see one campsite on the river that they had three racks in their camp on the last day heading out. They had must have been a 62 inch, and then a 50 inch, and then a little spike. It's just a lot of it is dumb luck where you're at. If you prepare right, if you call, and we did a lot of calling. It's always better when there's snow up in the hills. It seems it chases them down. We didn't have that. We did have some fairly cool weather. Get down to the high 30s, low 40s at night. So the meat we had hanging stayed real nice, but no flies and none of that, those issues that you normally run into with a couple of real warm days. We didn't have that. We had a really good crew along with us. I had my daughter, Emily, and her husband, Bryce, had a buddy, Ryan. And I had a really good old friend, from Wisconsin, who was has been up here many times hunting. He's 85. He had, some medical issues the last couple of years and couldn't make it. And he kind of wanted to do one more hunt. And he really enjoyed, I enjoyed having him. It's kind of neat. I kind of miss Urban. Urban Rayhoy was my senior buddy that I always hung out with. My buddy from Wisconsin. It was just a wonderful time having Daisy Rannick up here, and like I said, he's 85. He did a fantastic job. We get up at 4:45 in the morning, we make our coffee, and then we are on the water just about the time you can start to see, around 6:15, and that's when the moose come down to the water, of course. So that early daybreak and also dusk. So I was so impressed with this guy. I mean, here he is, 85 years old, has had some medical issues, kind of powered through them, but he was with us every, we hunt at least twice a day. We hunt the morning hunt and the evening hunt. We hunt during the day, but we're not running the boat up and down so much. We're just kind of sitting and relaxing and doing some calling and so forth, because oftentimes they're bedded down. Although my dad always told me he got more moose between 10 and 2 than he did on the fringes. And I think part of that was because most people assumed they weren't going to get a moose, so they weren't hunting in the middle of the day. And my dad would get to random moose that was walking across the river or whatever. So, we had a wonderful time. Great company, just good time. Comfortable, we've got a nice little setup where we're at up there, and not so many boats this year. It was a lot sparser than I thought. The river is changing dramatically up there around 60 mile. And there's a spot where we were up there, I don't know, 3 weeks earlier, and it was literally 1 or 2 inch water for about 200 yards that we had to slide over, bounce off some bottom a little bit, and to get through where the river is on a big bend is shoved all this timber into the corner. It's starting to break through the woods. It's going to cut off about 3/4 of a mile of river. And when that little, when the river is at, I looked on the USGS map, when it's under a certain number, there's no getting, there won't be any getting through there unless you're going to winch the boat over some dry ground. So, and that's not outside the realm of possibility. I carry a really nice capstan winch. We sell, it's called the Simpson winch. It's a capstan winch that fits into the nose, slides in on a bar into the nose of my boat. We have Carol's Welding build us the adapter. It's really cool. We've used it more for getting moose to the boat in a bad spot. You know, once we tip a moose over, you know, we'll get the moose. We'll, hook a snare line to its rear legs, and then we'll drag it to the boat, and then we winch it up into the boat, take the entire animal back to camp where we can hang it on our pulley tree and cut meat, keep it clean, not stressing our backs. You know, as you get older, that's important. it is for me anyway. I don't bend over and cut meat anymore if I don't absolutely have to. Got lower back issues probably from lugging too many polycubes up the bank and stuff over the years, and jumping out of boat, landing on cement, stupid stuff like that. You young kids out there, listen to me. Of course, I don't know how many young kids probably tune into the show, but yeah, you don't want to, you want to protect yourself when you're in your 20s and 30s. Don't do stupid stuff. And when I say stupid stuff, if you're getting out of a boat onto the street, don't just hop out of the boat and land on the street. Believe me, over 40 years, you'll do some damage, and you'll thank me later if you step onto the fender well and down onto the ground. The back has got its limits. But anyway, so we had a really good time up on the river. It was pretty good weather. We had a couple days of rain. We had 5 or 6 days of nice clear weather. Of course, we're in the F-35 training zone up there off the upper, between, you know, the upper Good Pastor River. That whole area up there you know, you can see the trails, you can hear them up there. One day we were laying down on the, taking a nap middle of the day. I don't know. It was a place we call Half Rack. And we were laying there just on the gravel, just napping, the three of us, or the five, I guess it was, yeah, we had dropped Emmy and Bryce at a different spot. And cause we sometimes drop hunters in different areas to watch. All of a sudden, we got this sonic boom of the F-35s, which literally shook the gravel on the ground. I mean, it'll wake you right up. it's kind of cool, you know. The sound of freedom, obviously, is what I say. And but it's neat to watch them play up there. It's not bothering. I don't think it's bothering the animals. They're probably used to it. Hell, they hang around Pogo Mine. We've probably got more moose in that area just because I don't think they're afraid of the noise anymore. So. But anyway, that was kind of a shocker. It hits you so hard, so fast. Anybody that's heard it, especially if you're napping, it's the ultimate alarm clock. So that was kind of cool. A different day, we're sitting on the gravel bar. It's about 5 o'clock. We're just about getting ready to head downriver because we had a couple hours to go to get back to camp, and we like to hunt that 5 to 7 time frame. But we're laying there, or it's just sitting there around a little campfire we made, and all of a sudden, these two F-35s, and I know they say they're supposed to stay above 500 feet. I think their altimeters were off. They came one right after the other, and you don't hear them when they're that low and coming. You just barely get a heads up they're coming. And, I mean, you could have seen freckles on the pilot if he had freckles. I mean, it was so amazing. It was cool. Again, they were probably down below where they should have been. I don't know that for a fact, but we all estimated 200 to 300 feet above us. It was amazing. They came right over top of us on their way back to Eielson. So that was cool. And then we're coming through by Glacier Creek. There's a little gut of water that's only probably don't know, 3 or 4 or 5 boat widths wide for, I don't know, 500 yards before you hit the open, kind of open area of Glacier Creek. And so we're just coming back, cruising through a beautiful day. We're just relaxed watching the, you know, just looking at the river as we're coming back downriver. And all of a sudden, a merganser comes out of from about 2 o'clock, about 15 feet above the nose of our boat. And a hawk came out of nowhere and just nailed it. And just, I mean, it just, feathers went everywhere. The carcass went into the water. And it was just literally, it almost landed in the boat. It was that close. It was really cool. It's just like you're watching a Marlon Perkins or whatever. It's Merlin Perkins, the old wildlife show. It was really, really cool. I'd never seen that before. I mean, right in front of you, especially, it was just amazing. Those hawks are so fast. Another day we're sitting there by Glacier Creek, and we're sitting there just anchored up, and we did some calling, and we're just trying different spots, you know, wherever we'd seen some tracks, and did a little calling and brush beating and so forth. And my daughter wanted to gather up some ore from the tributary there to take back and do some panning later. So we're sitting there and we're watching this osprey hovering up. You know, we saw what it was about to do. And, you know, those things, when they dive for fish, I don't know that there's a faster bird in the sky, but I think it's, somebody told me once, 200 miles an hour. And I mean, they're hovering up there a couple hundred feet in the air, and then they just drop, and they hit that water. I don't know how they survive that impact. I mean, it's crazy. And then they come out with a fish. You know, it's just an amazing thing to watch. I've seen it before, but it's just fun to watch because it's nature at its finest, you know. So we got our moose. We got a moose. We normally get a couple, and there weren't any caribou around. We didn't see any caribou at all. They're way, way up above Eisenminger Creek up there. But it was really, it was just like Wild Kingdom up there. We saw a lot of cool stuff. We walked in on a place where we saw 3 caribou kills, and one of them fairly fresh. Two, you just seen the hair balls left on, and they were within, you know, 50 feet of each other. And then another 50 feet away was the hide was still intact. I mean, the birds and animals hadn't torn it all up and drug it away. We checked it. It got moved while we were there. So something moved it, bear, wolf, whatever, moved it a bit. But, nature is always, you know, that's part of what I love about hunting camp. Even if we don't have a great hunting year like this year, there's just so much cool stuff to see out in the woods. It's amazing. And again, like I said, right place, right time. The guys we call the Juno boys, there's a group of guys that come up every year all the way from Juno, and they hunt one corner. They got 2 moose, so good for them. They always get moose. They got a nice spot. And then we've got there was one group with those 3 moose I told you about, and we saw 1 or 2. I think there's probably between 8 and 10 moose we saw come off the river, which is pretty low. Normally it's 15 or 20 that you could kind of count. And then there's caribou. But this year, and a lot of people that I talked to on the showroom say the same thing. It was pretty slow year for moose. I think that winter a couple years ago really took the wind out of the sales and just increase the predation so much because of the ability to, and there's nothing you can do about that other than, you know, get rid of some predators aggressively. That's what I always say is it is the responsibility of a hunter to take a predator if he has a chance. Yeah. You're not going to eat it necessarily. Well, bear you will, but you know, you need to, there's a book Kinman wrote once, Rick Kinman, I think his name was, that talks specifically about that, hunting the hunter or hunting the, I forget the name of it now actually, but it's a good book about, the ethical responsibility of a hunter to take a predator if he's out hunting for ungulates, you know, where you don't just pass up the opportunity if you're in an area, especially that's decimated like that, you want to take them. And of course we're always ready. We saw a ton of tracks, didn't see a wolf this year, didn't see any bear. My daughter heard a bunch of what sounded like chomping back in the woods there at one of the spots she was at. Emily's really, really good about that. But anyway, we'll talk more about that and some compost stuff after this break.
The Compost Outdoor Show on KFAR Radio will return right after this.
For more than 75 years, the go-to outdoor business in Fairbanks has been Compos. Bob Compos Sr. first opened the doors on 12th and Cushman in 1945. A lot has changed since then, but one thing hasn't changed. Compos' passion for getting you outdoors and away from the rat race and their business philosophy can be wrapped up in a few words Bob Sr. used to say. And that's, treat people right and they'll tell a few others. Treat them poorly and they'll tell a few dozen. Compos on Boat Street, doing business in Fairbanks since Harry Truman was president.
How do you get the smoking best deal in town on just about anything? On 50-50 Fridays. Duh, that's how. 50-50 Fridays partners together with your favorite local merchants to bring you great new deals of half-off savings. Simply go to this station's website and click on the 50-50 Fridays button at the top of the page to see what new deal is being offered each week. Get ready to score your half-off deals on such items as dining out, entertainment, services, activities, events, and even more. Shop 50-50 Fridays. You'll spend less. You'll have more. And even if it isn't Friday, be sure to check back with the 50-50 Fridays page regularly, where you can discover unclaimed half-off deals that may still be available. Every 50-50 Fridays week, you'll hear about the upcoming offer daily on 8 of the most listened to radio stations in the interior. Can your business benefit from a week of saturated, enthusiastic promotion on 8 radio stations? The answer is yeah, it sure. Why wouldn't it? Talk to us. 50-50 Fridays, brought to you by the radio station, your local family of radio stations.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs, starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m. The Buzz at 11:30, a look at Alaska's budding new industry, brought to you by Good Titrations, followed by Health Talk with Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical at noon. Then it's the Compos Outdoor Show at 12:30. And don't miss Fairbanks Foodies at 5:30, talking everything food and fun in Fairbanks. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio. And now, back to the Compos Outdoor Show on KFAR Radio.
All right, welcome back, Fairbanks. So we were talking about the moose hunt for our group this year. My daughter and her husband, he's still trying to get his first moose. He's got a caribou, so that was the goal, try and get him or my old buddy, 85-year-old Daisy from Wisconsin, to see if he could get a moose. And it was a challenge this year. We just didn't see a lot of moose. I think we only saw two cows, and we saw the one bull and got that one. But really, really odd that we didn't see more moose. We just saw, I know there's a moose taken, and you know, it's a lot of times they're in the woods right before you get around the corner. But it's kind of cool. We got back, and my daughter and her husband processed all the meat, got it all off the bone and cut up and in the freezer. And so, we let it, you know, it hung for about a week. So that was good. That's always good for the meat. But anyway, looking forward to some steaks and burgers and so forth. And thanks, Emily, for doing all the cutting. She loves that, by the way. I've got great pictures when we got that moose tipped over. I shot, it was pretty cool because, you know, she's elbow deep in it. She wants to do the cutting now and skinning. And I love that, you know, it's kind of fun, and my back loves it too. So I hold the game bags and she cuts the back strap and does a lot of the skinning with the other guys. So it's kind of cool. It's just neat to have, she's really into my other daughter. Not so much. She doesn't, I don't think she could do that. Emmy's, well, of course she was always big into the, Halloween blood and gore scene, the kind of the haunted houses, and she's a Halloween costume makeup expert, so she's into the gory stuff. So getting elbow deep in a belly of a moose has nothing for her. So anyway, that's that was our hunt. Again, great trip, good people. I had a good time. Just not a lot of protein, but enough to get through the winter. Obviously, we eat a lot of moose, and we really nailed it. Glenner and Jerry and I nailed the salmon this year, so we're in good shape on salmon from Chitna. You know, we maxed out there, so there's a lot of good healthy food in the freezer. It's always good to have. And reminder, I always tell people too, if you've got some meat in the freezer that's a year old or two, and you wind up getting another animal, a really good idea is to donate that meat to the Fairbanks Community Food Bank. Sam over there will gladly take it. They'll make chili or stew or whatever. You know, obviously you don't want freezer burn stuff, but just anything. If you're rotating, if you had a good year, share it. You know, share it with the food bank. It's a good thing to do. You'll feel better about yourself and your hunting. You know, if you, like I said, if it's, and you know, burger especially, I mean, that keeps for a long time, but, you know, donate a little bit and, it's good for the community, good for everybody. So anyway, I wanted to change topics a little bit here. We've been updating our website at Compos. We've got a cool program going on right now. Any of you that walked by the Bentley Mall, inside the Bentley Mall, we have got 15 or so of our Can-Am side-by-sides. We've got the old American Eagle store we've moved into there. We only open it for special occasions, but we've got a bunch of signage, and you can see it and pricing, and we've got a table there. We're going to set up a TV with a rolling screen. But it's really cool. It's just a neat to see all the different models of Can-Am side-by-sides we've got in there. The Outlanders, got some Lynx snow machines. We've got cargo sleds. We've got meat wagons. A little bit of everything we sell, we just want to put on display downtown. So that's kind of cool. But we have this program going on that we're real excited about, and it's called Play It Forward. And we call it Play It Forward because it's, you want to look at what you're going to do. If you're in your 50s, 60s, 70s, whatever, and you got a couple older snow machines, they can be, you know, they can be old Skidoo Expeditions. They can be Polaris Indies. They can be, you know, whatever was popular. And you just don't use them anymore. Maybe you got a bum knee and you can't throw your leg over it. Maybe you got some sort of a medical issue, or maybe you're just not into it anymore. We will give you peak dollars for that if they're in good shape. You've got to be in good running shape, good compression, suspensions. We don't care so much about cosmetics. The seat covers can be chewed up. The windshields need replaced. We don't want major damage, you know. But if they still run, we'll give you really good trade-in, better than you think, towards any new Can-Am side-by-side. And what's cool about that is the side-by-sides, if you can drive a car, you can drive a modern side-by-side. The same thing, you get your steering wheel, your shift column, they're all-wheel drive. They've got unbelievably comfortable seats. They've got, a lot of them have heaters, air conditioning, full cabs. They've got winches, most of them, and you can easily hook a plow kit to it, a 60-inch plow kit, a 72-inch plow kit. And so you're not having to pay that homer down the street to plow your snow. You can get out, and I love doing it at the work. My mind goes into neutral, and I plow snow with my side by side at the shop. I love it. It's fast. You can back up fast. You can get the job done fast. It's amazing with the traction system how they just keep pushing that snow. So you can actually, if you got one or two or more older snow machines, and again, they can go back to the 90s, depending on the model. There's some models we don't want, but there's a lot of models we'll take. And so we'll give you good money on those, and they're just depreciating as they're sitting in your yard anyway. So if you really aren't using them, upgrade to a toy you can use. That's why we call it Play It Forward. You know, if you've already got a big plow truck you use, great. Try plowing with the side-by-side ones. You'll probably never use your plow truck unless it's 30 below or something, but it's pretty cool. And if you got a cab and a heater, 30 below won't bother you. But and if you're not into that, you can go hunting with it, take your hunting buddy out, exploring. They're just so comfortable anymore. And we've got demos at the shop. You can take them out and try a couple different ones. But that's our Play It Forward. And we've made it really easy. I was talking about our website. Right on the front of our website, when you first go there, it talks about promos on the side-by-sides, like 1.99 financing we've got on a bunch of models and stuff like that, and discounts and rebates on other ones. Then you can also look at our snow machine link, our Can-Am link, outboards and boats, pre-owned. We have a lot of pre-owned product, side-by-sides, snow machines. You can go in there and snatch up a good deal on one of those. Those typically go away by the time the dividends come out. So this is the best next 30 days before the PFDs show up is the best time to lock one of those up. And you can do it just with $500. You can pay the balance when your dividends show up, or finance it, whatever you're going to do. But then right below that is a section that says, do you own an older snow machine or two that you hardly ever use anymore? Trade in towards the new Can-Am side-by-side. Enjoy the outdoors and true comfort We've got demo models. We've got Commanders, Mavericks, Defenders in stock with incentives, cheap interest rates, all of that stuff. And then in addition to that, we're going to give you way over book on most, in most cases, on the snow machines if they're in decent shape. Then there's a little button that clicks as is trade in your sled. So you can see kind of what it's worth. You know, we have to have it at the shop to confirm it, but we are really try to be fair about it and give you as much as we can for it. Especially if it's a model we want. If it's a model we don't want, like we don't want old, you know, Mach 1s or Polaris Ultras or Thundercats, those old high performance machines are dinosaurs now. You know, make a nice boat anchor for a yacht. But yeah, no, we're looking more for fan cooled machines or certain liquid cooled machines like the Ski-Doo 600s were popular. Some of the 700 Polaris, Yamahas, some of the utility sleds, even some Bearcats. So, I mean, we'll take any brand, and we've got two different ways to take them. If they're 10 years old or newer or 10 years old or older, we can take them. We just have a different division that does that. And so you go right to that site and it says, what are these sleds worth? And you got a little form. You put in what your sled is, the approximate mileage, and rate the condition 1 through 10. You know, again, we're going to confirm everything, but it helps us come up with a value. If you say it's a 3 versus a 10, we're going to estimate a little lower, obviously, because, you know, cosmetically it does help it sell if it's super clean. But if the seat cover's chewed up or, like I said, the hood's got a crack in it, we can deal with that. Most people that buy a good used machine are more concerned with the mechanical condition of it as we are. Then you can tell us which Can-Am model you're most interested in. You can go to our website and look at all the different models that we have on display. We have most of them in stock. Some of the demos we've got up to $3,000 or $4,000 on our side-by-sides off. Some of them are less than that. But still a really good deal. And if you're not sure which model is right for you, you can click down and learn more about each model. We've got a list of the different models that we have in stock, and we've got more since this was put out, but it shows the Defender XMR, the DPS cab models, the Defender XTs, the Maverick X3s, the Commander Max, the Maverick Sport, which is the narrower one, Sport XMR, which is the narrower one that goes through the mud real good. And the 6x6s, boy, those things have taken off. You can not believe where you can go with these 6x6s. People that have them, they'll come in and tell you, you know, you guys don't know what you got here. These things are just incredible. And then we've got the Limited. We actually have a Limited right now. That's our premier machine, Max Limited Camo. I just got one. A guy had to cancel on it, which is rare. We hardly ever see that. But it's a four-wheeler Can-Am Defender, so it's the utility version. It's got two rows of seating for up to six people. It's got the winch. It's got the heavy-duty bumpers. It's got the long. It's got the tilt bed in the back. It's got the heater and air conditioning. It's got leather interior. It's got power windows. It's got everything. I mean, this thing is loaded. And it's available. It's on our showroom. I mean, you put a plow on that, and you're not going to want to get out of it. The heaters are super effective. We had it at the fair, and it was so hot at the fair, we had the AC going, and people would step in there, and we couldn't get them out of it. They loved it. It was like 60 degrees in there, 55, 60, where it was like 85 outside. So that was crazy. But anyway, really neat stuff. Go to the website, compos.com, C-O-M-P-E-A-U-S.com. You can check out all the different machines. We're getting truckload after truckload of snow machines in, 95% of which this year are sold. I think we've got maybe 30 machines to sell this year that don't have a name on them, which is only less than 10% of our inventory. If you come by our shop, you'll see this wall of yellow crates. I mean, Trump could have used that to protect the border. It's so big, but every one of those you'll see has a name on it. And that means there's a deposit on it, and unlikely those guys are going to back out. We only get about 8 or 10 cancellations a year. So if you're interested in a Ski-Doo, get down there, get to Compos pretty quick and check it out. So anyway, that's another episode of the Compo Outdoor Show. I want to thank you for joining us. We're at 4122 Boat Street. We're open Monday through Friday, 9 to 6 and 10 to 4 on Saturday. Stop by and see us. We're pretty decent guys over there, and we'd love chatting with you. All right, another episode in the books. See you next week.
You have been listening to the Compos Outdoor Show on KFAR Radio, streaming live at KFARradio.com. To listen back to this program or any past episodes, simply click on the Compos Outdoor Show in the Archives tab on the website.